You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Come on, everybody. Let's dive into the Word this morning. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Come on, Luke chapter 15. We're going to talk about finding the one today. And so we kind of did a one-off message last week. This message today is going to kind of continue on that. And then again, Pastor Bobby's going to be here next week, and we will dive into a series after that. But we're talking about finding the one today. Finding others, meaning doing whatever it takes to see other people who do not yet know Jesus, see them come close to Jesus, know Jesus, love Jesus, and live in the purpose that Jesus has for them. And we're also going to talk today about how we ourselves can be found. Have you ever lost something valuable? Have you ever lost something that just meant so much to you, like it's just gone and you don't know where it's at? Isn't that the worst feeling? Like, how about this? Have you ever lost your wallet or your debit card? Yeah. I'd misplace my wallet from time to time. I do this. Honestly, it happens more than I want, okay? We do have, in our house, we have the place where my wallet and our keys and the change and those things go when I walk in the house. But just every once in a while, I get home and I don't put my wallet where it goes. And then later, I go to look for it and it's not there. And the panic sets in, right? Did I leave it somewhere? Did I completely lose it? Did somebody steal it? And then I know you can relate to this. Is there going to be any money in my bank account when I get online and look? Is it going to be all gone, right? And so I will tell you, though, usually here's where I end up finding my wallet. I usually end up finding it in a pair of skinny jeans laying on the floor in our bedroom. Because, you know, if you wear skinny jeans, which, by the way, I totally recommend skinny jeans, especially the stretchy kind. Man, they just wrap around your legs like a warm hug. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you aren't so sure, but I'm telling you. But if you wear skinny jeans, then you know. When you get home, you still want to take the skinny jeans off right away and get comfy. You know what I'm talking about? And so sometimes I'm in such a hurry to get comfy that apparently I just leave the wallet in the back pocket. But let's face it, once you enter your 30s, your number one priority in life is that moment when you can get home and get into comfy clothes, is it not? Can I get an amen? All the teenagers are like, you guys are gross. We know. We used to be cool like you. Hey, so we're going to build on what we were talking about last week, and this is it, church family. Listen to me. I love you so much. I love you so much, and there isn't anything I wouldn't do to help you get found in Jesus. There isn't anything I wouldn't do to help you get close to Jesus. Short of sin, I'd do anything to help you get close to Jesus and live in the purpose that he has for you. I love you for who you are right now, and I'm telling you, I love you for who I know you can become. God's got crazy purpose for your life. When I look at you, I see an amazing future in front of you. When I look at you, I mean this, I see the goodness of God. I see what I know can unfold in your life as you continue to follow Jesus. And listen, as we all together continue to follow Jesus together, as we are found, and as we keep each of us finding the one, you find the one, and I'll find the one, and then we'll go find the next one, and the next one. Come on, then we expect to see nothing less than Newton reborn. Nothing less than the complete renewal of everyone and everything here in our town. Help me out. We say it this way, Newton reborn, a people and their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. And so I shared last week that now, it's been about a week and a half ago, but God just moved my heart all over again for this church and for our town. And I've never had any trouble loving Newton. I've never had any trouble loving our church before. I've never had any trouble being passionate about our church, but God just stirred this up in me again, and so I do not want to fail to say that I love you, all of you. I love you so much, and I'm proud of you. I love getting to be the church with you. I believe in you as well. I really mean, I believe in you. I want you to hear that. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you're stuck in some sin right now. I'm telling you, I believe in you, and I look at you, and I can see where a life of impact and significance can unfold. I can see that in front of you. Maybe you don't have very many people in your life that encourage you in that way. Maybe you don't see yourself that way very often, but I'm telling you, I can see it. I can see what God could do in your life, and I would do anything short of sin to see you get close to Jesus and fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. I'd do anything to see you firmly rooted in Jesus, to see you found in Jesus, and to see you get used by Jesus to also help find others and bring them close to Jesus as well. So listen, with your Bibles open to Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells us a couple of stories that help us wrap our hearts and our brains around just how vital it is that you and I be a people, that you be a person who is found in Jesus, and that you be a person who is used by Jesus to help find other people. And come on, really, here's what we're doing. We're just talking about discipleship language, aren't we? I mean, that's really just how a disciple of Jesus lives. That's really just what a disciple of Jesus does. Around here, we say it this way, that a disciple is someone who is saved, changed, and on mission. Disciples have been saved by Jesus. They give their lives over to Jesus. They say, Jesus, I don't want to be in charge of my life anymore. You are the Lord. I am not. I want you to lead me. I'm submitting to you. I want to be in relationship with you. I need you to forgive me of all my sins and continue to heal me up and change me and make me more like you. I want to live for your purpose. Listen, that's how we get saved. But again, they also get changed. And I just talked about it just a tiny bit, but listen, changed is really, we use the word changed a lot, but here's another way you could say that. We get healed up and we mature in Jesus. We get healed from our past and from the wounds that we've all experienced. I heard it so good just a couple of weeks ago. I heard a guy say it this way. Jesus helps us settle our yesterdays so we can move forward in the future he has for us. All of us need that. There isn't a single person who doesn't need to have their yesterday settled so they can move forward with Jesus. That's change. So Jesus heals us up, and he also heals us and frees us from our past and our sins. He makes us so we're not stuck in sin, and he continues then to change us for the rest of our lives as he makes us more and more like him. And then disciples also do this. They live on mission. They join Jesus on his mission to make more disciples. They're intentionally relational with people around them who do not yet know Jesus, and so they can help them get to know Jesus and live in the purpose that he has for them. They join with other disciples or people who are trying to live for Jesus, and they encourage them along the way. We all help each other and join the process of seeing other people get saved, changed, and on mission. You with me? That's a disciple. So listen, in Luke 15, Jesus is going to give us a picture of this, and he's going to use some real life, real world examples so that he can teach us some spiritual truth. Okay, I want you to understand that, all right? So here we go. Luke 15, I'm going to start in verse 3. And here's a story that Jesus tells us. It says, so Jesus told them this story. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one, just one, if one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost and watch until he finds it? Notice the urgency there. That he would leave the 99 others, he would leave them right where they're at, he'd leave them alone, and he'd go off to search for the other one, and it says he won't give up, he won't stop until he finds the one. We also get a sense here of just how valuable even just one sheep is to the shepherd. And verse 5, and when he has found it, I love this, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me. Or in other words, let's party because I have found my lost sheep. Okay, now watch this carefully. He's given us a real world example so that he can teach us some spiritual truth. Here's the spiritual side of this. Watch this. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents, who turns from their sin, who turns from their way of living and returns to God, than over the 99 others who are righteous or people who are already right with God and haven't strayed away. Come on, are you seeing this? Can you see just how much it means to God when people who are lost get found? There's a celebration. There's joy. There's a party in heaven. It means so much to God when his kids, when they come home to where they belong. But he's not done yet. Jesus is going to give us another example of this. Watch this. Verse 8. He says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, let's party because I have found my lost coin. And here it is one more time. Watch, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. When someone who doesn't know or love God yet leaves their old way of living behind and they come to God, they get saved. Or even this, listen, when somebody who's already been saved or somebody who believes in Jesus but they're stuck in sin, when they confess that sin, when they begin to let Jesus heal them up of that sin, and they say, I'm not going to stay there anymore. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm telling you, that brings Jesus, that brings God the Father great joy as well. There's a party in heaven every time anyone repents. This is God's heart for his kids. This is God's heart for you. And so listen, I know we've got two real world examples here that Jesus is using to try to show us this. And I think maybe we can relate to both of these things. I know we can all relate to the woman who lost some money, right? I mean, that's like us losing the wallet or losing our debit card. I will say though, I don't know, we probably don't have any shepherds in here this morning, do we? Nope, nobody that's like shearing and herding sheep for a living, right? Somebody in first service raised their hand, but I think they were just talking about 4-H. You know what I'm talking about? No, okay, but listen, I do think a whole bunch of us can still relate to what Jesus is talking about. Listen, think of it this way. This is sort of like this. Have you ever been with your family, and if you're an adult, maybe when you were a kid, think back. Have you ever been with your family in a public place, like a crowded place, and all of a sudden, like one of your brothers or your sisters is just missing? Remember that feeling? Or parents. Parents, have you ever been in a crowded place and all of a sudden one of your kids is gone? Have you ever lost one of your kids for a period of time? Do you remember that feeling? That's the feeling Jesus is talking about right here. That's what he was trying to show us. I will never forget, just a few years ago, right here outside of the Fox in the downtown Newton car show, me and Rachel and our two boys, we were together, and our youngest son, just out of nowhere, he disappeared. He wasn't anywhere to be found. And man, you know this, the downtown car show, it's crowded. There's a lot of people around. And listen, I love Newton. And yes, we are seeing more and more Newton Reborn happen in front of our eyes all the time. But it ain't reborn yet. You know? And listen, I love the people of our town. I love the people of our town. But that don't mean I trust them all yet. Come on. Like, downtown Newton in the middle of a car show is not a place where you let a two-year-old just run around by themselves. Am I right? They need some parental supervision. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, our kid was gone and it was crowded. We couldn't find our son. On the other hand, listen, our other son, he was right there with us, but Denver was gone. And if you ever have experienced this, then you know that immediately there's like this sense of panic that sets in. Not like a crippling panic, like I'm just going to sit here and cry, but like a panic that says, I'm going to jump into action right now and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my kid back. You know what I'm talking about? I'll do whatever it takes in the moment. Your whole focus, you instantly drop everything, and your only focus is for you to start looking for your kid. In those moments that day, I'm telling you, nothing else mattered. The only thing that mattered to me and Rachel was Denver was gone, and we got to do anything and everything we can to get him back quick. Now, he was only lost for about a minute. I know, we laugh. But if you've ever been through this, then you know those minutes feel like an eternity. I'm telling you, it's hard to describe, but it felt like an eternity that he was gone. And your mind instantly goes to all of the terrible things that could be happening or what could be going on. And you want to do everything you can to remain calm, even though your mind is going crazy and your focus is just on that person. Listen, it's not like in that moment, when even in that just minute, which I know was short, but felt like an eternity, it's not like I just stopped and thought, well, I still got one of my sons. It's okay. 50% ain't bad. No, come on, your entire focus becomes that one kid, that person who's so valuable, and they're lost. And I remember the feelings. I remember the fear that started creeping in. What if we don't find him? What if he's gone? What if he's scared right now? What if he's wondering, why isn't my dad getting me or stopping this right now? What if something unthinkable or terrible is happening to my kid right now? Parents, you know this. If you got kids, the thought of never getting them back or the thought of something terrible or unthinkable happening to them, it's almost too much to bear. That's what Jesus is showing us here. That's the heart. That's the emotion. That's the sentiment he's trying to convey. Listen to me. I know he uses an example with sheep, but can I remind you of what God so lovingly calls you and me all throughout his word? He so affectionately refers to you and me as his sheep. You are his lamb. You're his kid. He loves you. This is God's heart for his kids. This is how God feels over every one of his kids who is not home with him where they belong. This is the urgency that God feels in his heart. I'm telling you, because look at what we read. Come on, it said when they're found, when they return home, when we repent, there's a party in heaven. There's a celebration, there's shouting, there's dancing. I guarantee this, there's a huge sense of relief that comes to the Father's heart. Oh, they're back home right where they belong. And so, that day at the downtown car show, we did get to experience joy. And we did get to experience a sense of relief. Yes, it was after 1 minute. About a minute later, we found our son, and he had found this itty-bitty, just miniature, fancy-pants chopper motorcycle that somebody had made, and it was on display. And apparently, he had just left us and made a beeline for that thing, and when we found him, he was sitting on top of that thing pretending he was going for the ride of his life. He had a big smile on his face. He had no idea he was lost. So, come on, I'm talking about that sense of relief because, man, you get that relief, but you know it takes time for your body to calm down after something like that. Man, so the emotions just, it took a while for that weight to leave, but man, it brought a smile to our face, seeing him so happy, even though he had no idea about the emotional roller coaster he had just put us through. But church, I need you to see this. This is the kind of heart we have to have. It's this heart right here. This is God's heart where in those moments, this is God's heart all the time for his kids, for people who are not with him. In those moments when our kids are lost, it's that moment, it's that heart that would say, I'll do anything to get them back. I'll do whatever it takes. Church, that's how I feel about this town. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about our church family. You need to know this. There are nights where I lay awake and I pray for you. I mean, I love you. There are nights where I lay awake and I pray for people in this town, people that I've known or maybe people that I've just seen around and God's put them on my heart and they need Jesus and I pray for them. We got to get this heart, church family. That's how I feel. And so I feel like there's a great, I felt this from day one. Honestly, since we were talking about prior to launching the church just a little bit ago, since before we've launched the church, I felt like God has says there's an urgency to what you're doing. There is an urgency for the gospel in this town. There is an urgency for bringing people to Jesus. I feel that way. We all need to feel that way. I have that feeling all the time. Here's what I'm asking, do you? Do you feel there's an urgency for what God has called us to do? Do you feel there's an urgency to be used by God? To see people who do not yet know him, to see them be drawn back, to drawn into his family and be where they belong with their father. How's that playing out in your day-to-day life? And so you need to know this feeling, this sense of urgency, it pours itself into everything we do here at the gathering. Our vision is to see Newton reborn. Our vision is seeing an entire city know and love Jesus and then be stewarded well for the glory of Jesus. We want to see an entire city be found in Jesus. So with the people and the resources that God has entrusted to our care, I'm telling you, we only want to do things. We want to have that focus in those moments. We only want to do things that are going to lead toward accomplishing that vision. Listen, if people are lost over here, we don't want to spend our time messing around over here or searching over here or just milling around where nobody's at. Come on, we want to go get people and bring them home. And we want to use the most effective methods too. If somebody's lost in the dark, I don't want the tiniest mag light flashlight. I want the night vision goggles. I'm a man. Listen, I want to give you some insight just in the way we think around here. You know this, okay? I've said from day one, we cannot be a church that waits on other people just to show up here. And so we're not. And we are actively involved in the life of this city around us. But listen, we even think this way in terms of how our Sunday celebration services, the thing that we're doing right now, in terms of how those things look and in terms of what people experience when they walk through the doors and show up here at the gathering. We want to do our very best. And I'm inviting you into this. I'm telling you, we want to do our very best, and I'll explain this, okay, to make it so easy for us to, in essence, bring our Sunday celebration services, bring Sunday morning, bring the gospel to people rather than making them work hard or have to deal with weirdness or jump through some kind of religious hoops so that they can be with us. And I'll give you just one tiny example of what I'm talking about. So here's one way this plays out. We have church in a theater in downtown Newton, in a building that many people here in this town have already been in, and it's not intimidating or religious to walk into. You know what I'm talking about? We want to make it so easy. Yes, people are going to have to make some effort to actually show up here, but here's what I'm saying. We are so intentional. We intentionally try to make it easy for lost people to be found when they join us. When they show up here, we're trying to do everything we can to build a family where other people who do not belong anywhere or maybe are stuck in sin or guilt and shame, you name it, where they can show up and belong just as they are, where they can be found. We are trying to foster a church culture where people can become disciples and live in the purpose that God has for them. And so we don't have to just wait on people to show up here. We can be disciples all week long. We can draw people in all week long. So we try to remove any hindrances. We try to alleviate distractions. We try to make things as excellent as we can. As leadership, we meticulously go over the details of even Sunday celebration and what people experience, what those things are like, what guests and people will think as they walk through the door so that they have the best opportunity possible to encounter Jesus. We think about the nuances. We think about what it's going to be like when people enter 522 to drop their kids off into our kids ministry. What are they going to experience? What is it going to be like? So we train our kids ministry leaders. God bless you all. We train them to smile at people, to smile at families and moms and dads when they drop their kids off, to smile at and love and encourage and have fun with the kids and give them Jesus. We coach our coffee team and our greeter teams to smile at people when they show up. Make them feel at home. I tell the band almost every Sunday, you gotta smile while you sing those songs. And they get in here early and they work on the details and the nuances of those songs. They try to make those things the best they can. Here's why, not just so they can look fancy. The whole idea is so that we will forget they're even up here and we can encounter Jesus in worship. That's the heart. And we got a group of people. There's a small handful of people. We call them the home team. Home team, God bless the home team. They show up here every Friday to clean, to treat this place like home. They show up here, they vacuum the carpets, they wash the windows, they scrub those toilets, they wash toys in the kids' rooms, they dust off the coffee bar. Man, they do anything and everything to make this place, I mean, even in its state of construction, come on, they're doing amazing, aren't they? They make this place feel like home. Listen, here's the point with all this stuff that I'm saying, all these teams. Real quick, can we give it up for Team Reborn? Come on. Man, thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for loving us. But listen, here's the point with all of this. It's because when we say welcome home, we want to mean it. We want people to understand we mean that. We've been praying for you. We've been thinking about you. We've been doing our best to prepare places and spaces and relational environments and opportunities for you to connect with Jesus and get relational with his people. But listen to me, Sunday celebration, Sunday morning, we know this. It isn't the end all be all, right? Come on, it can't be the end all be all. It cannot be. And so we are doing everything we can. This is what I mean, though. We try to do it in here and foster an environment in here because we want to help you as we're together. We want to help you become everything you are made to be in Jesus. We want you to be close to Jesus and live in the purpose he has for you so that you can be a disciple all week long. The goal is that you're living as a disciple. You're helping people get saved, changed, and on mission outside of this place all the time. You get somebody saved on a Wednesday at work, and then you just grab them by the hand, you bring them to church with you and say, look who I saved, and we all celebrate. Come, that's the point. So listen, your neighborhood gathering is vital. It's vital for you to be there because you will get loved and encouraged and equipped there just as much to live as a disciple of Jesus. Your own personal time in the Word of God daily, your own prayer time daily is vital. You'll get loved, you'll get encouraged, and you will get equipped to continue to be the person God has made you to be. Okay, so listen, I know that Sunday celebration isn't the end-all be-all, what we're doing right now, our services. I know that, okay, but I do want to point this out. What we're doing right now is one of the, and I'm going to use a word, some of you may just not like this word at first, but just listen to me. It is one of the biggest tools we have for helping lost people get found. What we're doing right now is one of the biggest resources. It's one of the biggest opportunities we have together to help lost people get found. I'm telling you, we're called to be disciples here in our city. Is that right? So let me say it this way. We're called to be shepherds. Sunday celebration is like a giant shepherd staff that we can all use to draw people in to the presence of God, to spaces and places and relational environments where they can connect with Jesus and connect relationally with his people. It's not the end-all be-all, but I'm telling you, it's a place where we can together invite, where we can draw people in, where they'll get loved and encouraged, and they'll get told how much Jesus loves them. They'll get connected to God. It's an amazing thing we have together. Listen, I'm saying all this because I'm trying to just give you a brief glimpse of just how much thought and energy and time and love I and many other leaders, your neighborhood gathering leaders, how much we pour into wanting to do anything and everything we can so that we can draw people, draw you and people around you close to Jesus, and so we can equip you so that you can draw other people around you close to Jesus as well. We'd do anything. I'm telling you, we'd do anything. Here's what I'm asking this morning. Would you do anything? Will you do what it takes? Is there a willingness inside of you to do your part? To do what Jesus wants you to do to help other people get close to Him? When was the last time you had that feeling, that adrenaline rush, like you might have when your kid is missing? When is the last time you had that feeling over someone in your world or someone in your life that doesn't yet know Jesus? When was the last time you wanted to immediately jump into action and you knew, I've got to drop everything because this person is lost and I got to help them get found? Has there been a last time? How long ago has it been? Is that something that plays out in your heart on a regular basis? Because listen, here's what God has wrecked my heart for all over again, and it's the kind of heart, listen, I need you. We all need, but God needs us. He wants us to have. It's the heart that this woman had. It's the heart that this shepherd had. It's the heart that God has for His kids. We've got to help people who are not yet close to Jesus get close to Jesus. We've got to help them. We've got to help them take that very first discipleship step, which is to see them get saved. We've got to do everything we can. We've got to stand in the way of people going to hell right now. We've got to stand in the way of people who are living in hell on earth right here and right now, and we've got to give them Jesus. We've got to see them get reborn with the life of Jesus. And so listen, it is time to find the one. It is time to step up more than we have ever stepped up before. It is time to show up more than we have ever shown up before. It's time to pray harder and more consistently than we ever have before. It's time for some of us to go to Connect and get connected to this church family and the purpose and the life that God has for you. It's time to serve with Team Reborn with an attitude of excellence and urgency like we never have before. It's time to show up at your neighborhood gathering with an attitude that's ready to contribute. I'm here to contribute, and I'm here to be a blessing to others as well. It's time to get aggressive with our own sin. It's time to confess sin like we've never confessed sin before. It's time for us, man. We don't have to stay stuck. It's time to share Jesus at work and with our coworkers, with our families, with our friends more than we ever have before. Listen, it's time to invite people to church like we never have before. It's time to draw them in. I'm telling you, you have coworkers, you have friends, you have families who would show up here and give their lives to Jesus any given Sunday coming up if you will do your part and draw them in. Grab some invite cards on the way out. I'm saying, hand some out this week. We've got to get this heart. And listen, I say this with grace, okay? But if you say you love Jesus and there's little or no urgency inside of you right now, if there's no urgency for those around you to see them draw close to Jesus, then I would encourage you very lovingly, there needs to be some concern over your own heart. There needs to be some concern over your own heart today. If there's no urgency, if things like praying for your friends who don't yet know Jesus, if things like showing up at your neighborhood gathering with a thought or an attitude that, man, I'm here to contribute, if things like being a part of Team Reborn isn't even something on your radar, then listen, again, with so much grace, it's time, though, to take your heart to Jesus and just ask Him, why not? Why not? And it's time to listen to what He has to say. It's time to do what He tells us to do. So listen, with so much grace, maybe you're in here today and you are the one. Maybe you're the one who needs to be found today. Welcome home. We couldn't be more excited that you're here. And listen, I say grace because we've all been the one. I have been the one. But I also say grace because you don't have to stay there. And you can be found today. I'm telling you, you are in the right place. Jesus is here, and it's no accident that you are. He's been looking for you. I wonder, do you need to give your life to Jesus today? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be rescued? Jesus is holding out his hand to you right now. Do you need to grab his hand? Church family, here's what I want to encourage all of us to do today. I want us to find the one. I want us to find the one. And here's what I mean by that. Listen, I know we say this all the time, but come on, focus with me on this. What's the one thing the Holy Spirit is telling you to do today? What's the one major thing that he is talking to you about today? What's that one step he would have you take that would help you either be found or would help get you on the path of being a person that finds others? Come on, for some of us, here's the question. Who is the one? Who is the one person that the Holy Spirit's laying on your heart today? That person that you know, that's in your world, that's in your life, that does not yet know or love Jesus. Who's that one person that God would say, you're the one. You need to go after them. And here's the question. Would you be willing to take that step? Are you willing to do what it takes? Would you invite them? Would you be relational with them so that you can share Jesus with them, so that you can draw them in? Who's the one? For others of us, what's the one thing that's holding you back? Maybe you say there's multiple things, Pastor. Come on, what's just the one that the Holy Spirit might be telling you about today? The one thing that's holding you back. Maybe you feel like there's multiple, but I'm telling you, what sin do you need to be free from? What's the one sin? You say, I've already given my life to Jesus, but if you're honest, I'm stuck in this sin. What's the one sin that if you could be free from that sin, you could move forward? What's the one wound that just keeps tearing you up on the inside and it's holding you back? What's that thing from yesterday that's not settled yet that's keeping you from moving forward into the future God has for you? Listen to me. Satan works in darkness. And so he wants you to never tell a soul. He is convincing you. He will use fear. He'll use any tactic to try to get you to never tell anyone else about the sin or what's really going on in your life. Because if you keep it in the dark, if you keep it a secret, then he gets to torment you over that thing. And he gets to keep tempting you to come back to it. And he gets to, this is what he'll do, even though it's not true because he's a liar. But he'll just say things like this to you. Yeah, you put on this face over here, but I know you're worthless. I know what's really going on. You're worth nothing because look at what you really do. That is not the truth. And listen to me, the Bible is so clear. The Bible says we ask God, we confess our sins to God so we can be forgiven. God will forgive us. But he says this, we confess our sins to each other so that we can be healed. Here's what you do. You bring that thing into the light. You tell somebody about it, and here's what you're doing. You're taking Satan's power away. He can't torment you over that thing anymore. He can't bring it in your face. He'll probably try, but here's what you can remind him of. That thing's under the blood. I've confessed that thing. Jesus has forgiven me and other people. I've got a family. I'm not saying you got to tell the whole family, but man, we got leaders. We got people who know how to, we got neighborhood gathering leaders, myself or Pastor Greg or some prayer leaders, people that know how to receive a confession and love you. And you can just remind Satan, I already confessed and I got a family that still loves me. They're here with me right now. Let's focus right here. Listen. Come on. What's that one thing you need to give up? What's that one thing you need to let go? Jesus can heal you. You don't have to stay where you're at. You can move forward with him. Who's the one person you need to forgive? There's that one person from your past that you need to forgive, and it's that unforgiveness right now. If you're just honest, it's holding you back from moving forward in the future God has for you. Or again, maybe you're here and your one step today is that today's the day you need to reach out your hand. You need to take Jesus by the hand and you need to let him save you. You need to let him bring you home. Come on, that's the best decision you can make. And I wonder if there aren't some people in here that might need to do that today. I'm going to give us an opportunity here in a minute. But I'm telling you, if there's anybody in here, here's what's happening. They're planning a party for you right now. There's a banner in heaven getting hung up right now with your name on it. They're about to shout and dance. And your Father's about to get a great sense of relief as you come home to him. Well, find the one. What's the one step you need to take? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Hey, I know if you were here last week, we took some time and I invited people, anybody that if today was the day you needed to give your life to Jesus, we did that. But man, this has just been on my heart that I've really felt like God's been saying over the past couple of weeks, man, just give people the opportunity to make that decision, to declare, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I want to give my life in your hands. Let's not leave room for guessing today. So listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I promise. But with every eye closed, with every head bowed, here's all I'm asking. I'm the only one looking around. If you need to give your life to Jesus today, I'm just asking, just lift up your hand. Just as you're just acknowledging to God, I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else want Jesus to take them home? I see your hand. Got like four or five hands up. Anybody else? I'm not gonna rush this. Anybody else? Do you need to give your life to Jesus today? Awesome. You can put your hands down. I'm telling you, hey, we're going to pray, and I want to lead you in a prayer. If you really want to give your life to Jesus today, then I'm just asking you to follow after what I say. But I'm telling you, there's a party. They're on the verge of just having a party in heaven over this decision that you're making, and we couldn't be more excited for you either. This is the best decision you could ever make. So come on, if you want to give your life to Jesus, whether you raise your hand or not, just repeat after me. Come on, just tell God, God, I give my life into your hands. I don't want to go my own way any longer. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be in charge. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins, my past, my present, and my future. Forgive me of it all. Forgive me of the times I've tried to be Lord and those times I'll probably try again, God, but I want to come back to this. Lord, you are my Lord, and I choose to follow you. I invite you, Lord, come and have your way in my life. Come and live in my life. Holy Spirit, pour yourself out into me. Just tell him, Jesus, I want everything that you want to give me. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, we can keep our eyes closed and heads bowed just for a moment. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I'm so proud of you. You got a church family that's so proud of you. Jesus is so proud of you. Welcome home. Come on, is there anybody else? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Who's that person that you need to go after even this week? Is there an urgency that needs to take place in your heart? What's the step he's telling you to take? I'm not going to call you out on it or make you say what it is, but come on, just declare before God today. God, I'm going to take the step you want me to take. Jesus, I pray, Lord, whether we need to forgive somebody or if we need to confess sin or seek healing, God, we declare today we're not gonna stay where we're at. We're going to take the step you want us to take. I pray you'd fill all of our hearts with an urgency. I pray we'd be a people, Lord, that would live the reborn life, that'd be used by you, Lord, that we'd go after those around us who need to be found. Thank you for finding us. Thank you that you didn't leave us. Thank you that you don't fail to rescue your people. God, use us in every way you desire. Make us into the people you want us to be. We love you, Jesus. Our aim, our desire is to follow you and follow you always. We say, come and have your way. Let this city be reborn. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And my whole family said,
thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.